And you've got my permission to play this to whoever you like under whatever circumstances you like.
All right, I haven't asked anyone else for permission, so that's actually a good start. We should think about those things, I guess, when we're working on forms. Well, after that start, I should mention that today's guest on the User Experience Podcast is Caroline Jarrett, who's based in the UK. Caroline, thank you very much for joining me today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Can I ask you, how did you first get interested in forms design?
Completely by accident. I mean, it's such an obscure thing to be interested in.
Tell me.
Well, what happened was that I was running a small software house. This is the long version. If it's too long, I'll go back and do the short version, okay?
Okay.
I was running this software house, and the business disintegrated because we had too much business with one organization, and they left the marketplace. I ended up having to make myself redundant. And I went looking for, I had to get a contract job in a hurry, contract project management. I ended up working for Rank Xerox, known as Xerox in the rest of the world, on an optical character recognition system, which was scanning patents for the European Patent Office. Mm. And I got really interested in optical character recognition because it just didn't work very well at all. But there were ways in which you could make it work better. I became fascinated by that problem. And then, as contracts do, that contract job came to an end, and I was looking for another job. And I think I came number one on a short list of project managers with experience in optical character recognition.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the only one on the short list. At that time, optical character recognition was a very rare skill, but I started to work for a big computer systems integrator in this country who were doing optical character recognition systems for the Inland Revenue.
Right.
They were doing all the PCs for the Inland Revenue, and one of the things that they got were offering were these optical character recognition systems, and it didn't work at all. And so I sort of got really interested in, well, why doesn't it work? And it turned out that why doesn't it work is because of the way people fill in the forms.
So it wasn't a technical or a mechanical issue?
No.
It sounds like you came from the technical end of things into realizing or focusing or becoming convinced about the importance of the human elements in the whole forms process.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole cost of dealing with forms is completely dominated by the mistakes people make. And the mistakes people make is a cognitive problem. It's about how they think about it.
Okay, now that brings me fairly neatly, I think, to your three-layer model for forms. And can you tell us a little bit about the three-layer model?
Well, the three-layer model came around because for a long time I was grappling with this whole problem of tax forms. And I was trying to get a grip on the problem that tax forms are intrinsically frightening.
Okay? Mm.
They're frightening while they're still in the brown envelope.
In fact, we were having a conversation prior to this episode where we were both admitting that we're afraid of doing our respective quarterly returns.
Oh, no, you've told the world.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so so I was trying to get people to understand that there are different aspects of forms design. And so many times people will approach forms design thinking about, okay, what font shall I pick? You know, shall I print it in Puce, Magenta, or Viridian or something? Well, that's fine and all, but it still isn't going to stop people hating the tax forms. And so I started to think about how can I explain this to people, and I came across the concept, of thinking about relationship, conversation, and appearance. So the reason we basically are always going to hate certain types of forms, and that's because of poor relationship problems. Many of us feel that tax, for example, is onerous and worrisome, and we're worried if we get it wrong or that we might get horrible fines and investigations and so on. So there are issues about how we feel about it, and there's also issues about, for most of us, dealing with our tax is an irregular thing. We've got to gear ourselves up to it. It's not something you do like logging into your computer system at work. You do it every day. You don't even look at the screen. There's no worry about it. Something like doing your taxes, you do once a year or maybe once a quarter, depending on the regime.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever really get to understand it. So that's all things about the relationship, what the task is, how you feel about it.
I guess that's something that typically, sorry Caroline to cut across you, I guess the relationship is something that typically, I guess somebody working on just a form for you know, a website, a registration form or something like that, typically doesn't probably put all that much thought into. Would that be fair to say?
I think it often people don't think about the users of their forms at all. They just don't, doesn't occur to them to ask the question, how does this person feel about what I'm asking them to do?
Mm.
You know, are they going to enjoy filling in this form? If not, why not? You know, I'm just about to put together some guidelines on writing better instructions. And one of my opening remarks is going to be, okay, how many people come to this form with the intention of enjoying reading the instructions?
Mm.
Well, the answer to that is clearly none. You know.
Except for except for Caroline Jarrett.
Well, yeah, but don't design for me. I'm a weirdo, you know.
No,
so,
you're not.
the thing is to think about your users and their goals, and that's just something we know in user-centered design in general, but seems to be even more overlooked in forms design than in the rest of user-centered design.
Okay, and can you, so the next layer then is the conversation layer, is that right?
Well, I was trying to bridge the gap. I'm saying, well, it's not all about how it looks.
Yeah.
It's not all about how you feel about it. What is the thing in the middle? Well, in the end, a form is really a series of questions and answers. It's a sort of conversation where you ask a question, you expect the user to have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so things like, how is it worded? Are the topics grouped in a way that makes sense to the user? All of those things are things I'd describe as the conversation. And generally in forms design, I find that the biggest amount of time goes into designing the conversation. That once you've understood the relationship, once you've done it for that form for a long while, and the appearance is relatively simple to get right once you've pinned down your questions and answers.
So the appearance is that final layer or that third layer?
Yeah.
But the appearance is the thing that most designers would be forefront in many people's minds when they're doing forms design, presumably.
Yes.
Yeah. So do these layers apply then to all forms?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Without exception?
Well, yeah, I mean, you might say, well, there are other aspects we want to think about. Like, for example, technology. You know, are there different considerations that apply if you're designing for PDF, for example, compared to designing for paper
mm-hmm.
or designing for HTML forms? So there are other things that you could add to the mixture.
Yep.
But again, I'm not trying to solve the entire problems of the world here. I'm just trying to give people a way of getting at the issues in forms that they sometimes don't think about.
And of those three layers, you've talked about the three layers, I'll just reiterate, relationship, conversation, and appearance. Which of those is the most important?
All of them.
Okay.
And you can't get, if you've got a beautiful, clearly worded form that looks gorgeous, but you've addressed it to the wrong audience and they just don't want to give you that information, mm-hmm. they'll answer Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many a time I've come across a perfectly attractive looking registration form. I'm not going to do your registration form. I'm sorry. I'm not prepared to divulge that information to you,
yep.
even though you've put perfectly nicely worded questions in a sensible order.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a relationship defect and you can't solve it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if in some ways people will persist with forms no matter how ugly and no matter how convoluted, how bad the conversation is, how bad the appearance is, if they really want to do that thing, then they'll fight their way through it.
Yeah, the concept of the reward at the end of the process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, we're we're user-centered designers, I hope, or usability people, we're trying to create good experiences, not say, well, we don't need to worry about this part of the experience.
Yeah, I did some work with a taxation department who told me in an initial briefing that if people didn't fill in their forms, they would send them to prison, so they didn't care about usability.
Well, it's an attitude, you know, it's an attitude, but it's not perhaps the one we would most strongly defend from the point of view of user-centered design.
Yeah. Obviously, this is a very, very big topic. I do have one question to more or less finish up, though, Caroline, and that's that my experience has been that people who are involved in doing forms design often have very limited time and very limited experience. So they get thrown this job of designing form X, whether it be a paper form or an online registration form or whatever. What can people in those sorts of circumstances do to try and ensure their forms are usable and within those constraints?
The best way of in supposing you had like a half a day, the best thing you could do with that would be go and find a bunch of filled in forms and see how people have filled them in. Really look at them, and then that will give you inspiration as to where your time should go. And it's something people don't do nearly enough of.
Yeah.
And you might say, well, okay, that's impractical because this is a web form.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no filled-in form, or the data is all cleaned up and, you know, apparently cleaned up by the time I get it. Well, the answer to that is, well, you have to do your usability testing then. You have to get people to show you how they're thinking about the form. And that blows away so much of, you know, things that might be your opinion, my opinion about it,
mm-hmm.
and puts it squarely back with the users. This is how real users are struggling with your form. Fix those problems, not something that someone has written in a guideline. It's what your users are really doing that really matters.
Okay, that's great. And I should mention that I'll put links to Caroline's website and a few resources on the podcast website, which is www.uxpod.com. And if you'd like to comment, you can, of course, go to that website. Caroline, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I always enjoy talking about forms, Jerry.
Thank you. And Caroline will be running forms design training in Melbourne, Australia in November. For links to further information, see www.uxpod.com.